are going to go ahead and get started. Welcome back to the topic, guys. I do have another special guest, another good friend of mine. Her name is Jessica, not to be confused with Jessica. She is a twin, though. So there is a Jessica and a Jessica. Just so happened that Jessica with the D is my friend. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, friend.
Hey, friend. I am doing good. How are you doing?
I'm feeling good.
So just in case you got, well, I know you guys don't know, but it is late at night right now, and we have been out partying for brunch, and then we continue to party on. So, you know, it's a litigation. Is that a word? Can I make that up? It's not a word, but I want to make
it.
It's a lituation. And we are going to have a little bit of fun. The topic today is about co-parenting. And she is a co-parent. So, you know, I want to go to where the source is and talk about things with my people in my life that I know are dealing with those things. And maybe it can relate to you guys and offer some a little bit of support. Okay. So, in the beginning of this episode, I want to talk about friends, new friends, that will end up being old friends. And I like to call my friends lifers. So that means that people that are pretty much going to be in your life forever. Like, you don't see the friendship ending or have a reason for the friendship to end. So that's going to ask you this. What's your, standard, friendship?
So for me, friendships are lifelong, like you said. I feel like friends are people that you can depend on. When you can't talk to your parents or your siblings or anything else, friends offer that non-judgmental space for you to just be.
Okay. And I find that for me, growing up, I've always had, like, you know, close friends that have been there for a while. Then I meet new friends that end up being there for a while. Do you think that your standards of friendship has been the same, like, from high school to college to adulthood?
No, so for me, it's actually been the opposite. I can't look back and say, oh, I have a friend from childhood or high school. I feel like my friends have always been, I guess, situational. So wherever I'm at in life, if I transition out of that space, like, we're going to take high school, for instance. I don't talk to any of my friends from high school. But as I've grown older, I've learned the value of keeping your friendships. So friends that I've met through work or college, I tend to hang on to because they can see you through those different phases in life. And then I just recently started to understand the value of friendship.
Oh, that's cool. Honestly, I think that was just kind of blessed. I think because, you know, I only have one brother, mm-hmm. and I have, like, a lot of male cousins that I'm close with, like, they are my brothers. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I was blessed to have females who are, like, sisters, mm-hmm. That I've been friends with for a long time, and they kind of took me under their wings, you know, because I was rough around the edges coming from where I come from.
Okay.
You know, I can be honest about that. I never had a reason to end the friendship, and even if we go through disagreements, we were able to, you know, talk about it and move forward for the most part. Do you think that you have any deal breakers when it comes to friendships?
Absolutely. Deal breakers for me would be lying. I cannot stand a liar in any area of my life, be it friends, partners, relatives that you have to cut off. So besides lying, backdooring friends when it comes to dating people that you have dealt with, whether if the relationship was serious or not, that's a deal breaker.
Backdooring.
Baby.
Not the gay backdooring, but backdooring.
Not be confused with the bro back. Backdooring would be if I talk to a man, sis, I don't care how fine he is, what he got to offer, I'm going to expect for my friends to know that he is off limits.
What if your friend comes to you and be like, listen, sis?
No, ma'am, I'm not listening.
Well, what if she talks to you before she does it? Not saying I would do that. I'm just asking.
No, absolutely not. There are so many men out here, and there is no reason why, if I'm sharing my stories with you, you should even want to have my lust over.
That's true. I'm with you on that. What if y'all never? What if he liked you, right? and you never touched him. Y'all never went on a date. You mm-hmm. never had anything to do with him. And your friend comes to you and say, hey, I like him.
No. I still think it's off-limits. No, because let's say if y'all get serious, am I supposed to sit around you and him at Friendsgiving?
No. And you ain't never touched this dude. You weren't interested in this dude.
I entertained him, though. We've shared secrets. We may have been. Just because we don't touch doesn't mean there hasn't been an intimate aspect.
You know what? You're right on that part.
So, no.
Okay. Hey, I'm asking for the ladies. I just want to know.
Baby, me and come a dime a dozen. You can find me right. And I have touched.
You see, I really want to see it. You haven't touched him.
I even entertained. I'm not going to sit around both of y'all while y'all, he can, no.
But
I'm not going to be able to look at you the same.
So what if you never even gave him your number?
Then what is that talk about?
She coming to you as a homie and be like, listen, I like him. Yeah, you don't want him.
Okay. How would y'all have met? So y'all just walk in Kroger. Y'all know that we share...
I'm saying I'm bringing it back to college days, right? Like, okay. Maybe, you know, what if we all, in a hypothetical,
okay.
We all work together. And I'm saying, I'm going to use me as an example.
Okay.
We all work for the same company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dude likes you or whatever, and you don't like him. We all have work phones, but none of us have
personal
phone numbers, mm-hmm. right? I ask you, hey, I know you don't like him. I think he's cool. Would you mind if I get his personal number?
Hypothetically.
Uh-huh.
I think I would still have a problem with
it. Really?
Because even though I don't like him, if you know that he likes me.
Right.
As a friend, why would you even want to get him to start liking you?
Because I see the potential in who he is, right? You don't see the potential.
But that potential also saw the potential in me. He didn't see the potential in you to begin.
Oh, why you gonna dog me out? I'm just saying. Listen, don't do me. I'm just asking. Oh, not hypothetical. Listen, this is just a hypothetical situation. Mm-hmm. I don't go after dudes that my friends, you know, talk to. I'm very much loyal. I don't go that route. You know what I mean? Like, so let's just be clear, okay? What about if a friend steals from you?
Oh, 100% deal breaker. I should be able to trust my friend with my life.
So, you know, just as well, you know, I just went through this,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm going to put it on Front Street. Recently, we had a little situation. That was a disaster of a situation. Where it was for a couple of girls' friends, and I mm-hmm. went somewhere, and I found that one of my friends basically stole from me. And I'm not going to say what was stolen. I don't want to put her on, you know, Front Street or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was heartbroken. You know what I mean? And it wasn't anything of importance that she took, but it's just the fact that it happened. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And to me, that was a deal breaker because, well, number one, it wasn't the first time it happened. It was just the first time I actually had proof or knowledge of it. Like, I can actually pinpoint it that it was her. But then at the same time, it's like, what do you do in that situation? Do you just give up the friendship if you've been friends since elementary school? Like, what do you do with that?
Oh, so stealing is definitely a deal breaker. But, I mean, if there's decades behind this friendship, for me, I'm going to confront the situation head on, first of all. So, definitely not leaving anything up to interpretation. I'm going to ask her about it because as friends, hell, I should be able to leave anything around you without having a second guess if it's going to come up missing.
Which is true.
So... in that case, I would have to bring it up. You know, I won't be mad. I would just plainly address it with her. Now, whether she chooses to be honest about it, that will also segue back into my deal breaking of lying. So now, this double dose of deal breakers, even though it may be painful, it just has to come to an end for me.
See, and my thing is like when what I'm learning is that I avoid confrontation. And people think I'm a confrontational person, but really and truly, I avoid confrontation because of my reaction to the confrontation. You know what I mean? Like, I will come for your neck in a confrontation. And that's the reason why I avoid confrontation. Because, you know, I never know how far I will take it if you take me there. You know what I mean? You
never address the fact that your friend stole from you.
I don't know if I can right now. You know what I mean? Okay. She kind of knows that I want to have a conversation with her, that there is an issue, but I never told her what the issue was.
You know what situation remind me of? You know, if you dating somebody and they hit you with the "we need to talk,"
and then you never had that conversation. Like, yeah.
Like, you're sitting there on pins and needles trying to think about what the hell are they going to talk to me about?
But even in that situation, you know what the gist of it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so...
So are you expecting them to come out and address it first? And just say, hey...
Because, no. I mean, you know, that would be great if she would, but I know she won't. But my thing is like, if the shoe was on the other foot, I wouldn't be able to sleep well. Yeah. If a good friend like that would be like, oh, I have you, you did something, and I'm not comfortable with talking to you right now about it, and then you never reach out again. To me, that means you know you're guilty.
So if you've been friends with somebody for decades, does that trump the incident? I mean,
no.
That's a long time.
Listen, this particular person has been around me too much. And I don't know what else has been taken. You know what I'm saying?
It like, definitely causes you to think back to
everything. Everything. You know what I mean? Like, everything. You've been, you know, before I sold my house, you've been in my house. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot.
That's a tough situation to be in.
So
it's a deal breaker for me, though.
I just don't know what to do. It's just, it's a lot of history. It's a lot to just throw away. But at the same time, if she can't come clean... You know what I mean?
And
I
can just set yourself up for more theory.
No, it won't be no more theory. I'm going to lash out. You know what I mean? And then that's not going to be good either.
Because we got too much to lose.
Too much to lose. You know? So, I think that would be my... I'm with your deal breakers, but I'm going to add that deal breaker as well. Because as grown with professional women, you shouldn't be out here stealing.
At all. Especially as friends. I'm willing to... Get anything to my friend. If you need something,
let me know. I mean,
we can go have.
Let me know. We'll work it out.
Exactly.
We'll work it out. All right. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the next segment of the show, which is called the Reality Rundown.
Let's do it.
So, on the Reality Rundown, as you guys already know, the special guest gets to pick a topic. This week I didn't have a topic really that I wanted to talk about for the Reality Rundown. I've been kind of secluding myself from like reality stuff, but Jessica does have something that she wants to talk about. So what's your Reality Rundown, friend?
So I thought it would be interesting to talk about Miss Ari Fletcher leaving her brand deal with Savage X Fenty due to her comments about domestic violence.
Let's talk about that. So what exactly did she do?
So from my understanding, I guess she got on Instagram live one day making comments about domestic violence survivors and how they pretty much come out and tell their stories to get sympathy points and all that. And being a brand ambassador for Savage X Fenty, which is a brand by Rihanna, sis did not read the room. Seeing as how Rihanna is a domestic violence survivor herself.
I forgot about... Wait. I didn't even read the room. I did not put that two and two together.
Sis did not read the room.
Wait, so she basically was saying because a woman who was a victim of domestic violence says something, that means that she's trying to get sympathy. Mm-hmm. And not realizing that the woman, the
who
most...
finds her checks.
Wow.
Is herself a victim
of domestic violence.
So if you go on like Rihanna's site, Miss Ari is not on there anymore.
So you lost money, honey. Good money, too.
Okay. Rihanna, if you listening.
Oh, I got another bottle there for you, Rihanna. Wow. Well, so did she apologize for that, or she just kind of...
Not that, I don't think she's apologized yet for it.
She has not apologized. Let's, no, you sure? She has to have apologized. At this point in time, even after she got dropped, Ari never apologized. Are you sure?
I don't even think she addressed the fact that she has been dropped. I mean, because Fizz obviously is getting bags and getting chicks or whatever, but I'm not sure how much of a Rihanna bag is. But at the same time, I feel like she's a prime example of knowing when not to address something. Like, everything does not have to be addressed.
Lisa Ray goes off on Ari Fletcher for domestic violence comments. Then they call her toxic. Her comments toxic. Wow.
Did not read the room.
Oh! Ari Fletcher says she doesn't care. What? See, and that's the thing about making money, right? Don't get me wrong, everybody has their hustle and their bustle, right? Mm-hmm. I never want to get to a point to where you're so high up, you are oblivious.
And insensitive
to what is real world things that are happening, exactly. Right? And that can come down to just knowing the cost of milk. You know what I mean? Exactly.
It's almost like some of these celebrities or influencers are just so out of touch with reality. They forget that they were once just regular folks, too.
Girl, this thing says, Ari Fletcher says she doesn't care domestic violence survivors have an issue with her, quote-unquote, joking that she likes her man to pull a gun out on her.
What?
What's wrong with this girl?
Whew.
No, for real. What's wrong with this
girl? And I feel like people who say they don't care, you're saying that to almost save face. Because I'm sure you care in private. And I feel like apologies need to be just as loud as these messed up statements that people be making. I mean, that can go for anything.
But she, and that's not the first time she's been in the hot water for doing some insensitive things.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, I've talked about her before on the topic, but I was giving her kudos for buying Moneybagg Yo like acres of land. Like, yeah. That's the most biggest flex I've seen in my life from a girlfriend. You know what I mean? That would have to be my husband, I believe. I don't know. I don't care how much money I have. I don't know if I can really do that. You know what I mean?
Once I am your wife, where do we go from here? Like, you're doing that's the ultimate duties as a girlfriend.
Facts. So, I mean, that was the coolest thing I've seen her do. You know what I mean? But I feel like she's always in trouble because of her mouth.
Yes. And is she... I know Lisa Ray made a statement about celebrities versus Instagram influencers. And people put these Instagram people on pedestals that they just don't belong on. Like, is she a celebrity, quote unquote? Or would you say she's an influencer?
I would say both. How can you be one or the other?
I feel like what's the difference? Celebrities back in the day and... just the age of social media, everybody is so accessible these days. And that may be a good thing or a bad thing, but you never saw Anita Baker on Instagram Live talking mess about, you know.
Well, we can't use Anita Baker as an example because there was no Instagram. There was no internet with Anita Baker.
But to be a celebrity for me, that means you have to have talent. What's the talent here? Besides the fact she's a beautiful girl.
Well, it's like saying Kim Kardashian is not a talent.
What's Kim Kardashian's talent?
She's a businesswoman.
Is that a talent? Or is that
you have to have some type of talent to really to make that type of money, no?
I feel like Kim just had a lot of circumstances that worked in her favor.
Let's talk about it.
Let's do it.
Like, what kind of... Tell me more.
Let's go back to the origin of Kim Kardashian.
Uh-huh, which is the sex tape. Okay. But I mean, that sex tape.
Who got sex tape? They aren't on Kim Kardashian's book.
Right. Uh-huh. So, okay. So the sex tape can only take us so far.
Exactly. And her mom, which is, you know, the mogul of the whole Kardashian clan, she was able to put Kim in certain positions and situations that have made Kim into be this household name. But again, it's the talent was what?
Business. But that's what I'm saying. Like, she was a business. They were smart enough in business to be able to monetize. Right?
But that's what business school is for. You can have an MBA and not necessarily be successful.
Right? I'm confused at what you're saying now.
I feel like you being good at business is not a talent.
Okay.
Do you agree?
No.
Why not?
Because not every, you can, just like you just said, you can have the MBA and not be successful. So if you are able to be successful without an MBA, mm-hmm. that's a talent.
Is it? Or is it just
luck? You think it was luck?
I think so.
Okay. Don't get away from the mic. In your
I think that's so.
So you're trying to scoot away from this mic?
Let me scoot up.
Ari, I mean, I think she just has, you know, one thing about it is that, you know, and that's another reason why I believe in counseling, because you have to be able to fix everything, that any insecurity or whatever issues you have before you touch that amount of money. Because if you do not,
you're just a fool with money.
You, oh, damn. I mean, I wasn't going to say that, but you know what I mean? I feel like you are, unhappy with this access of money, you know what I mean? Like, and to me, that means that there could be some shit going on even in her relationship that she's not talking about.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, she's there not saying whatever is going on with her.
What would make her come out and just say such disgusting comments about something that, I mean, I don't know her past history with domestic violence.
Right, and she, I mean, let's be honest, Herbo is a weirdo. Like, I mean, I'm just, that's to be for real. And his rap game is terrible. I mean, I'm just going to put that out there as well.
I don't think I've ever heard a G Herbo song
that I liked. I mean,
what,
you know,
song,
I don't know. I really don't think he has lyrics. I mean, I'm just going to be honest about that. You know, but even with her saying she likes her man to pull all his gun out on her when he's...
Yeah,
that's just silliness. That's silliness. First of all, when you're mad, especially, when I'm mad, nobody should have a gun.
That's not you don't have any other way to express the fact that
hello? And then she said for him to tame her.
Can you not use your words?
I'm just saying, like, first of all, what if that gun go off on accident?
And what is taming me? I'm a grown woman.
Hello? You a wild animal? He needs to, you know... shooting that fucking big ass, like, I mean, let me, you know, anyway, like, I digress.
Yeah,
but
I don't agree with any of those
things. It's childish to me, you know, but at the same time, she isn't a child, it's Ari. She has to be like in her 20s. Let's see. Not 20s, not in 27, act like that. She gotta be a young 20.
I mean, you know, these Instagram people look old and they be young.
This girl was born in 1995.
How old is it?
I don't know. They don't want to tell me. 26.
I see. I knew it. I said
27. I mean, G Herbo, though. Like, I mean, yeah, the fact that he bagged you, to me, I mean, G Herbo's not even cute. Y'all son is beautiful. I don't take away from y'all son. But, you know, I mean,
there's much less to be
fine.
Like,
I mean, I'm just saying. You said it. I didn't. So, y'all said that's good. Y'all hate Mel. She ain't on social media, though. So, good luck finding her. Anyway, but yeah, so I mean, the most, and you know what, I talk about that too in another episode in regards to celebrities. Mm-hmm. It's not the fact that the fall is the thing that kills their career, it's their reaction to the fall that determines where the trajectory of their career.
Yeah, a lot of them counsel themselves out.
Hello, Lil Mama is a prime example of that.
I wouldn't
care if Lil still popping. Not no more. She crawled on that damn stage like an idiot. No, it is not. Oh, Lupe Fiasco. You know what I mean? But
oh, I haven't heard that name.
I mean, he kind of canceled himself, too. He went off on the deep end and all this. B.O.B. too. The world is flat. They're smoking that good-ass weed and getting so distracted. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, so that's going to be it for the reality rundown. We are going to move forward to Let's Talk Politics. In the Let's Talk Politics section, I received a topic about the insurrection, but I've already talked about the insurrection, so I didn't want to add to the topic today, especially since we have a special guest. So I'm going to talk about it in the Let's Talk Politics section. But before I talked about the insurrection, it was just about some of the charges that were being charged for I'm going to call them terrorists. but now that some of them have been arrested for their vandalization Is that even? I like creating words. Vandalization sound better. Storming the Capitol, threatening to kill people, you know. But we are going to talk about the lack of jail time that these people are receiving. Have you been paying attention to what's going on, Jessica?
I've been paying attention from a distance. And the reason is because some of that stuff can really get to your mental when you think about wrongfully convicted people.
Ooh, talk about it.
Our ancestors. And because of people colors of their skin and the lack of melanin they have. It's ridiculous to me. And you know how you can let certain stuff disturb your spirit, but you also want to be up on game when it comes to the happenings of our criminal justice system that was never built for us. So in all reality, it's only working the way it was meant to work.
And that's the sad truth, mm-hmm. right? Because we both know if those people had been any other color, any other hue, outside of the lack of melanin that they were, they would still be
different headlines.
It would have been a different headline.
Mass casualties at the Capitol. It wouldn't even, they wouldn't have made it to being arrested or charged.
They would have been dead there. Before they even made it to the steps.
Before they even made it to the dang, little,
what do you call it, rotunda?
So it's just disheartening, but at the same time, it's not surprising either.
No. So for those of you that do not know, as of right now, those that have been, you know, accepting a plea or who have been convicted, they have either gotten probation, no jail time at all, a few months, or they on house arrest. That's all that has happened thus far. Now, they do have a couple of that are being charged with sedition, and those are the ones that are with the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers, which is like these organized terrorist groups who really want to take over the government, which I understand that they are being charged with more severe crimes. But at the same time, there were over 2,000 people who were legit inside the Capitol spreading feces, you nasty people, on the walls of the Capitol threatening to hang their own vice president, which I'm not a fan of Mike Pence either, but I wasn't there. So I can say I don't like him. You know what I mean? I wasn't there at the Capitol. But how are we as a society supposed to watch them get the least time possible and feel nothing about it?
They are basically getting slaps on the wrist. They're being put in time out pretty much, and it's disgusting.
And really all that they're doing is giving these terrorists the opportunity to do it again.
Exactly.
They are setting the example to these people to say, you know, if you do it again, this is what will happen. But only way that this will not happen again is if a group of minorities or a group of individuals who are of a different hue that plans some type of act that is similar in nature, and then they end up dying, then all of a sudden y'all going to tighten up the ropes, tighten up security so it won't happen again. But you see, we're not stupid enough to do anything like that because we know our lives don't have as much value as whoever were at the Capitol before.
Exactly. I mean, these are the same people whose grandparents and parents were engaged in horrible acts of racism and discrimination, and now they don't want their children to read about it. So this is only, like you said, setting up possibly their children and grandchildren to know that, well, my father did and he didn't get anything, so let's keep this tradition going.
And I think I'm also appalled that the same senators who the police officers say that they have not said anything about the sentences that these people were given, who've been charged and convicted. I mean, they haven't said anything about them getting these lack of, you know, severe sentences.
And they won't, because no one can convince me that the powers to be did not know that this was going to happen.
You mean the senators? Or are you talking about at the DOJ? Are you talking about at the Pentagon? Everyone?
Anybody who has a lack of melanin. and who is in the government, I feel as though this was such an organized event. There's no way that all of these people can organize such a tragic incident without anyone having any possible inclination that it was going to pop off. So why would they speak against these sisters when they wouldn't expect them to get sentenced anyway? They were the same ones. They were the same ones holding people's hands to let them back down the steps.
Right.
No, they weren't supposed to be up there.
I think what I'm talking about the Democratic senators. The Democratic senators were really the ones that they were wanting to quote-unquote kill, you know, along with Mike Pence, obviously, because he wasn't going along with the plan. But it seems to me like they should be the ones that have more of a voice with the convictions right now. They are saying nothing. First of all, they're doing nothing, even with the rights to vote right now. Even when it comes to President Biden's bill, there's two senators that are kind of holding up everything, and the other senators are saying nothing. There's over 50 senators in the United States Senate, and I can only name Bernie Sanders, Warren, Sinema, Manchin. Those are only four that I can, like, legit really name out of, oh, Booker. Okay, let me give him his credit. He's from New York. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, how can we not know y'all?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all not saying anything. Like, it's like, y'all lives are the ones that were in danger. My life has been in danger before. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? In real life. Like, I've had a gun pull on me before in real life, more than once. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I know who, you know what I mean? Specifically, I will never forget y'all faces. You know what I mean? So how can y'all live y'all lives and can just continue on and do nothing, say nothing, if your lives really were in danger?
Mm. That's a good point, too. Is it surprising, though?
I think that I'm just disgusted with that one. And really, truly, democracy really is on the line. And they still are not doing or saying anything. They think it's a game.
Yeah.
And really, truly, what's going to end up happening, it is going to be another civil war. Because minorities are not going to sit back and just take this shit if y'all think that's what's about to happen. Y'all better be ready. Y'all better be fucking ready, because it's not going to fucking happen.
It's not going to go how you think it's going to
at all. You can play with these laws, put these laws in place all you fucking want. If you think that people are just going to sit back and take that shit, you got life, living, and the human race fucked up. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Now I'm just, you know, working my goddamn self up. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay. But thank you for the topic. Facts. Thank you for the topic. Writer, and you know, I hope you guys got a little more insight into politics. Please, guys, pay attention to what's going on, because they really are trying it in a real way, and we have no right, we don't have the time to not know. Period. All right, so we are at the topic. So today's topic is co-parenting. Jessica is in a co-parenting situation. She has a beautiful little girl named JoJo. It's a nickname. And I'm going to ask her a few questions just to pick her brain a little bit. You ready?
I'm ready.
You sure?
I'm as ready as I'm going
to be. Okay. So my first question is that, you know, I don't have kids, right? So as someone who has a child, would you recommend any of your single friends to embrace a co-parenting relationship?
No.
Why not?
I mean, because so when I first had my child, me and her father were living together. And it's just 1,000% just easier when you have somebody in the same household as you. You're able to equally share parenting responsibilities. There's no guesswork when it comes to your child being sick. Where is she going to go? Is dad's schedule going to line up to what I need it to align with? So I say, if you do not have children, please make sure your situation is stable enough to withstand the test of time before jumping into a co-parenting relationship. I have been blessed that it hasn't been too difficult But at the same time, it's definitely not something I would recommend for my single friends with no children.
Okay. So what are some things you didn't realize you would have to deal with as a co-parent?
Ooh, how much time we got? I'm just playing. having to deal with the fact that, yes, you're in a co-parenting relationship, but you're still the primary parent. So that means when your child is sick, you still have to make all of the decisions regarding, am I going to take off work? Do I have enough PTO? Is dad in town? Or what does dad's schedule look like? You have to deal with the fact that there will be other partners on each side. So having to deal with different personalities, having to deal with the fact that your child is going to have questions. My child is a question-asking machine. So you have to just straddle the fence of what's appropriate enough to explain to your child about why she has to go back and forth between two different households. Because as adults, of course, we know what comes with it, but you don't really take into account how this will impact a child, especially when they get to be school age and their classmates are talking about their household with mom and dad. And so,
what kind of questions does she ask?
So, for instance, they do a lot of projects in school, and the project will be, you know, draw a picture of what your family looks like. And so if you have her classmate A can draw a picture of mom and dad in this household, she's going to want to know, well, why is my mom and dad not in my same household? Mm-hmm. And so I've always tried to, you know, let her know, oh, you're blessed, you have two different households. But as a child, she still wants both of her parents to be under one roof. She doesn't understand the fact that, oh, I have two houses. She wants one house.
Right.
So she'll ask, well, why aren't y'all together?
What do you say?
Will y'all ever be together? So you have to kind of tailor your answers to be age appropriate. So I have a kindergartner. So you have to just say that, you know, mom and dad were together out of the love we have for each other. You know, we were blessed with you, but some things happen to where mom and dad can't be together anymore, but we still love you just the same, but we just, you know, don't live together. So just making sure that, one, you're respecting the fact that she is asking you those questions, but you also don't want to down talk the other parent because it has nothing to do with her, you know, while y'all separated. So
okay, do you think that that is a, those things that you just described are challenges or just a normal thing that you have to deal with, or are there other challenges?
So I think that can be one of the same. I think two things can exist at the same time. So it's normal because that's what your child, of course, has to grow up with. Mm-hmm. But it's also challenging because in a perfect world, you would want, you know, mom and dad to be together. But sometimes a healthy relationship is two parents who are not together, mm-hmm. because you don't want to be with someone and it's unhealthy just for the sake of being in the same household. Right. So it's normal because that's all she's used to, but it's challenging because you don't want her to place the blame on herself or think that there's anything that she could have done to mm-hmm. save a relationship. Like, you don't want a child to feel like they're to blame or mm-hmm. they could have done something different.
Do you think in this day and age, are your, because you're, what, 20?
I am 30.
30 even. Not like, yes, your birthday just didn't come in, this month, lady.
I am no longer in,
okay,
my 20s.
Whatever. Okay, 20, 30, 30. And her birthday just came this month. But do you think that your generation feels like co-parenting? Do you feel like it's more of a co-parenting that people are striving for?
Yes.
Versus being like married?
Yes. I feel like it's the norm these days. I mean, people aren't even in relationships, but they're having kids
together. Why do you think that is?
Society. I feel like we can look back at our parents and grandparents, and they've been married for 40 and 50 years. But there's no one in my age group that I can look at and say, oh, they're married.
Why do you think that is, though?
Society. I feel like
it's more acceptable, you mean?
It is. Like, they don't place value on
marriage.
Commitment. Mm-hmm. Yes. Marriage. Or just healthy relationships. Everything is so toxic these days.
Do you think it's because of men or women? We as women accept less now than, you know, our parents did? Or do you think that the men have more availability or options because of the way women feel?
Oh, that's a good question. I can also flip it to say, I feel like back then, women weren't privy to the type of opportunity that women have these days. So a woman can also say, look, you're not bringing as much to the table, and I have options, or I can do bad by myself. So women aren't tolerating what women
used to tolerate.
So
meaning that they stayed for the financial security.
Now women are the financial security. Like, we are the rich women these days. So they can go either way.
That is so true. Like, I'm just not that bitch.
You know, I, and like, men can say, what do you bring to the table, baby? I am the table.
Hello?
I'm the napkin.
The hello? The forks? The charger?
Baby,
the-
Like, what do you bring to my table?
Oh, my God. I never thought about that, but that's so true. Because I feel like nowadays women do tend to make more than the man.
So we tolerate less. Like, I'm not going to allow you to come with anything less.
No,
like,
bullshit.
You have to come.
Correct.
Less. Nothing less.
Like, and these niggas playing games, so they'll take the half a loaf of bread. You know what I mean? Because half a loaf ain't asking me to do much.
And I need the whole
loaf. I need the whole fucking loaf.
And I need the whole bread.
The loaf, what loaf of bread coming? What you call that? That plastic wrap? What is, I want it. And what's the twist that you twist the loaf with? Hello? I want it all, okay? And the shelf. The loaf sit on.
I need
okay.
The whole bread.
Hello?
I need the whole eye. With options. Because I need you to know that there is someone else too.
I mean, I'm just saying, don't get too comfortable, Home Skillet.
Don't get, Don't get too comfortable.
So, okay, so do you think having a set schedule and a financial amount like child support helps or hinders the co-parenting relationship?
Okay, you're swinging with the questions. I feel like it depends on a number of things. So, child support can be something that's already prearranged, especially if you know that this is not going to work. At the same time, I feel like as adults, you know how much it costs to raise this child. So, although you may not be in the same household, expenses don't stop just because you're not here. So, in certain situations where it's completely unhealthy, child support definitely helps. But at the same time, I know, especially as, you know, us being of the melanated race, involving the court system in certain situations has been almost like a, it leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. So it can be a hindrance in that aspect, but it depends on
your perspective.
You think so?
I think so. Yeah, bad taste in what way?
Well, most judges these days are white, so I feel like, why should this white man have to tell you how much it costs to raise this child, or when you should come pick up this child at 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, or whatever time, every odd, even year? Like, you should know that this child still exists. So, that just depends on the perspective and the maturity of the parents. Now, if somebody has given you plenty of chances to come up with a set, you know, arrangement, and you just refuse, then at that point, you're forced in my hand. And I have to make sure that my child is well taken care of. Because, yes, I am stable, but I didn't make this child on my own.
Right.
And if you're not going to act right, then I have to force you to
So
act
how
right.
many chances do you think is too many chances? Is there a set amount of chances, or is there one thing that would make it too much? Or is there, I mean, how do you know when enough is enough? That's like being in a relationship for too long, you know what I mean? Then after that, you know, your child is 10, it's like, damn, I should have put him on child support 15, you know, not 15 because the child wouldn't have been there, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
man,
you know,
it's
5 years ago.
The back page, so I can always get it back. But I feel like as adults, if we sit down and say, this is how much I feel like you should contribute, and I give you a chance, and those Fridays pass, and I don't hear anything, and I say, okay, look, I've tried to negotiate with you, and if you ask me for one more chance, then that one more chance is what it is. So if you still don't fulfill your obligations, then you're going to force my hand. So I would say two.
So can I ask you something? Can I go there?
You're going to go
there. Okay, I mean, with your situation, have you given a deadline or is it still chances?
I have not given a deadline. I also feel as though I am too lenient when it comes to certain things because I am, once again, the table and everything that comes with the table. So I'm definitely, I have been very lenient with my co-parenting partner. But I have not went down the child support road yet. But I've definitely had those conversations.
So how many chances, so what chance is he on? Or is he on a chance yet?
Two.
He's on chance two. So how many more chances will he get?
Well, the second chance, he was able to fulfill the requirement. So
does he get started over on chance one?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question.
Okay. Because my thing is like, now one thing about men, right, they are very, especially men that know you, those are the most dangerous ones, right? Because if they know you, they know how to, so the same way I can, you can finesse him, he knows how to finesse you. You know what I mean? Hello. So my thing is that you can, they know how to do just enough to stop you from doing what's necessary.
And
you know what I mean?
Situation.
Exactly. So because he fulfilled chance two, does that mean that he gets chance one again, or does that mean chance two is started over? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Okay, heavy hitting with the question. I'm honestly not sure how to answer that one. What do you think?
I think that he's still on. I think that he needs to be on child support. Period. You know what I'm saying? Especially if he's. He's progressing in life, and really and truly, he's not letting your life progress because you're carrying a load that you shouldn't be carrying alone.
Now that's
my thing. You know, kudos for what you got going on, bro. I'm just saying, kudos. I ain't knocking you. You know what I mean? But break me off. Over here, you know, not that thing, not that thing. You know, I don't want that thing. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, that's facts, though.
You know what I'm saying?
Facts. As women, we definitely shoulder
more, and he knows
98% of the
he's trying to finesse to play so his life can progress. You know what I mean? While you still asking, you shouldn't be asking. She's too old at this point.
That's true.
And there's no more asking. Especially cheerleading and all this other. Girl, I'm watching cheer right now on Netflix. That's an expensive ass sport, okay?
That is a commitment.
Hello? So, no, I think that chance number two, okay, you did it. But he still needs to be, there needs to be something in black and white.
Yeah. I can agree with that sentiment.
And I'm telling you, he's making more money than you think. I promise you. I promise you. And he only got two right now? That girl go fuck around, you pregnant again? I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going on a tangent. All right, let me mind my business, okay? I'll talk to you about that later. I don't want to put too much of your business. Okay, anyway. How does dating affect the co-parenting relationship?
I feel like, so before dating comes into the picture, you sit down, you have these mature conversations about, you know, wanting to be introduced to this person before they are around your child, setting those boundaries of the fact that, you know, your child doesn't need another mom or another dad. You know, this is just a person that is going to be, yes, around your child, hopefully, you know, teaching your child certain things that they need. So dating can impact it in ways that things sound very good in theory. From personal experience, you know, you are told, oh, this is going to be great, just to make sure this person can fit in with certain dynamics. But then when you actually meet a person, you realize that things sound better in theory. Certain people aren't able to put pride aside or feelings aside and deal with the fact that another person will be around your child. As a woman, I do feel like we mature faster than men. So as a woman, I'm able to say, okay, great. Let's meet. Let's talk. Let's have these conversations. But men, on the other hand, I don't feel like they can handle the fact that another man would be around their child.
Why do you think that is? Truthfully.
I don't know. I think that they may feel threatened by another male presence in the home that
Because
he's
of
not
you,
in.
or because of the child? Threatened in regards to what, in what way?
Threatening the fact that, oh, my child is going to have this other male presence that she's looking up to, that she may, you know,
like,
spend time with, actually like. This person may be, you know, at my child's games that I'm not at, or at my child's competitions that I'm not at. And so it's that quality time aspect of it. Like, yes, of course you'll always be dad, but your child is also coming to realize that I like being around this person too.
Right.
So I don't feel like men can handle that. Women can.
Okay. And is, how do you get over that hump, or do, are you, how do you deal with that in regards to dating and co-parenting?
For me, when it comes to meeting the other partner, I get over it because of the fact that I don't have any feelings for my co-parent. So I'm mature enough to realize that you will date and there will be another woman who has your attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mature enough to realize that, okay, sis, if my child needs her hair done, can you comb her hair?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm able to get over it because there's no feelings involved. But when there's feelings involved on the other person's end, they're not able to accept it. Because they always feel like that door may be open, because most co-parents, well, I don't say most, I feel like some co-parents still have that door open where they can have intimacy, or they want to come over. You might,
it's funny you say that.
Link. And but when a person's feelings is completely cut off, I can separate that. I don't want you. I can respect you as my child's father, but that's it. I'm not thinking of what if you still fine. Like, you can be fine all you want to, but I don't want you. So
you, it's funny you say that before I ask the last question. But how do you deal with it if your co-parenting doesn't like the person that you're dating, or if there's an issue?
Deal with it. You can take it up with God. Because at this
not
point,
take it up with Jesus, Lord, as I got point, King Jesus. No, because I got King Jesus.
Especially when you are the reason that this co-parenting situation exists,
ooh,
then that's not on me. I can't take that responsibility. That's something for you to deal with.
Well, okay. I hear you, sis.
I mean,
so my last question was, is do you think that, you know, most co-parents still sleep together?
Absolutely. And that's why there's issues, because you don't know how to close the door. So for me, I have to completely close that door, and I have, which is why I'm so content with what I'm doing. Because I mean, it didn't work out. It's life. Like, yes, you will want to be with the person you laid down and created life with. But life goes on if that doesn't happen.
Right.
You have to learn how to pray about it. Get your mental health together, however they may look. Meditation. Go to therapy. Therapy is something I heavily recommend. So, for me, it's just all about being content with what you're doing and knowing that you're not putting your child at risk. Like, there's not a time where anyone can say that I'm not acting in my child's best interest. So, it's just on the other person. You will hope that they're as mature as you, but if they're not, all you can do is worry about you. My child will know that I was there 100% of the time. My child will know that mommy gonna step. Mommy gonna step.
Yeah. Period.
And that's on facts. But no, co-parenting can definitely be a blessing if done right and if done with a mature person.
But it's just a roll of the dice when, you know what I mean, you really don't know.
A roll of the dice, and both of them dice sometimes make you crap out.
Ciao. Well, I hope this episode was helpful to you guys, or it was entertaining at least for you guys. Remember, if you have any topics, or if you want to give your input on this, the topic that was discussed today, you can send it to thetopicis@gmail.com. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram at chatthetopic. The website is thetopicchat.com. Until next time.